lift a finger to wake up to Toucher and Rich.
No way.
Just tell your smart speaker to play. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Hootie and the Blowfish, I just saw, are back and going in concert.
Oh, boy.
How many people that have been on this show or that are in sports media do you think attend that?
I would say 25% of all people in media will be in the building.
I'm going to say that that's a Shaughnessy affair if he still leaves the house.
Oh, yeah.
Shaughnessy goes, yeah. I think that's a Peter Abraham situation.
I think a lot of baseball writers, along with Springsteen, that's kind of their sweet spot.
Zolak will definitely go.
Yeah. No, that's right.
Yeah, he's a big hoot head.
I mean, I listened to them when they were, but I'm...
You had the Hootie and the Blowfish album?
Did I have it? I don't know. I might have. And then there was, I think, they had a follow-up album. What was that called? They had one
called
album.
No One Cares?
Fairweather Johnson. That's what it was called. Remember that.
So you own the Hootie and the Blowfish record?
I think I did. Yeah.
Because did they make you? Did they hand them out at EEI?
And no, they did not. But I actually went out and purchased it.
Okay. Yes. So based on the power of I Only Want to Be With You?
No. Hold My Hand was actually, it's cliche to say, but yeah.
How is that cliche? It's not a deep enough cut. That usually people are
not many people heard that one, Fred.
Yeah.
I figured I was on the cutting edge. Oh, I got this album no one else has. Yeah.
Now, would you see the Hoot?
No.
If you were given free tickets, would you see the Hoot?
No. I would not go.
All right.
I feel no sense of nostalgia. And like everyone else, after about 6 months, it was a beating. And I gave it up and never listened to them again.
It just seemed like that was the ESPN go-to. And every time you like would listen to Dan Patrick or something, you'd be like...
Yeah, Berman and Patrick are in the video. I'm like, all right, I've had enough. Yeah, just keep yourself at arm's length.
Dan Patrick is in this like mission to try to seem cool. And he always has been. And I'll grant it that he gets to be in Adam Sandler movies, which would be pretty fun, I guess.
The movie posters are everywhere in his lair.
Well, yeah, but also is something that just a sign that just says popsicles.
Right.
But Dan Patrick had the opportunity to build a studio.
Yep.
And it was supposed to be like a man cave with pinball machines and a golf simulator.
Don't forget the hoop.
Yep. Yeah, you could shoot a little hoop.
Yep.
And at the time, I don't know if he is anymore, but he was connected to Sports Illustrated. So they had framed pictures of all the hot mamacitas that were on the cover of the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issues.
Yep.
So you took a walk by there and you went, ooh la la, Kylie Ireland. And so he also just has a sign that says popsicles. And a million bobbleheads.
I know about the bobblehead. I don't recall the popsicle sign.
I will show you the popsicle sign, and then every time you see him on TV, which is probably once a millennium, you will see nothing but the sign.
Audience Network
popsicle.
Is right there, man. Channel 500, DirecTV.
He's like, what do we want to do here? It's like, gang, do we all dig popsicles?
Yeah, we do.
So he would be on the radio. This is when I was in Atlanta, and he was being syndicated on one of the stations there. And he would just be like, yeah, you know, last night I was hanging with Darius and, you know, we were backstage. And you're just like, why are you telling this story? You think that in some way, shape, or form, this is cool?
Maybe 1990. What was the one year that they were insanely popular?
I don't know.
94, John?
94. Mr. Acoustic Sunrise.
This is, hey. This was well after their height.
Okay.
This was just, you know.
Oh, okay. Okay. So this wasn't even during the big time.
No, this would have had to have been the.
After the tidal wave had passed by.
Yeah, would have had to have been the late 90s. Okay. Yes, Dan.
Fred, I would like to play a little bit of a game with you since you'll be attending this show. Going off 44 North American dates, including many state fairs, along with Madison Square Garden.
They're playing Madison Square Garden?
Hollywood Bowl.
Whoa.
Tickets go on sale this Friday. Who is the opening act for Hootie and the Blowfish 2019 summer tour?
That's a good question.
Matchbox 20.
Oh, very, very good guess, but no.
Okay.
Even worse.
Worse than Matchbox 20.
John Mayer.
No, he's with the Grateful Dead who are playing Gillette.
They are playing Gillette. That's true.
But they advertise on the stage.
Could I give you one? Could I give you one hint?
Yes.
They are from north of the border.
The back?
No.
Oh, Bare Naked Ladies.
Yep.
Oh!
Ding, 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 ding.
Oh, yeah, Bare Naked Ladies.
I know at least five people. Let's
have an opening act, get everybody fired up for that. Huh?
No, I know at least five people now that the Bare Naked Ladies are involved that will go to the show just for them.
Even without the
Bare Naked Ladies, they don't care. They don't care about Hootie and the Blowfish, although I'm sure that's a good added. If the Bare Naked Ladies come to town, I know at least five different people, including two of the parents of kids that go to school with my kids, that will go.
Now, how do you know that they are fans of Bare Naked Ladies? How do they advertise
this?
That
has come up in discussions. I don't know how to. I don't know why or how, but it has.
Do you just go to their house and there's like shrines?
Yes, right.
Well, because you know the main guy is not in it anymore.
No, I did not know that. Is that right?
He's a big drug trouble.
Yeah, they kicked him out, wrote a song about him and everything.
Oh, big drug problems, that guy.
He couldn't handle the
the constant pressure of being in the the Bare Naked Ladies.
You know what else is a death signal? Is that Hootie and the Blowfish are currently working on a new album together to release before the tour.
Well, then,
so if you don't want to relive all the songs that you might know, here's six that you don't know.
Yeah, this is half the show.
Just what people want to see, the new album.
Yeah, no one ever wants to see the new album. And by the way, tomorrow, there's no mail. There is no mail tomorrow.
No stock market.
Now, the stock market, I can almost understand.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a national day of mourning over Bush there, who died.
Yep.
I don't understand what mail has to do with that. Now, if I'm a mailman, I'm psyched.
Yep.
No, you're not, because it's a week before Christmas or the busiest.
Oh, so I'm going to have double the mail the next day?
Yeah.
They're saying some package deliveries will be done, but general mail and the retail post offices will be closed.
Okay.
Does that surprise anyone?
Very much so.
Yeah, it is surprising. I don't understand that.
Like the idea of opening mail would be considered blasphemous in that situation. I don't understand why. Is everything in the government shut down? Is there no trials or anything?
Don't know about that. I just know about the stock market, NASDAQ. You know, NASDAQ will be closed and no mail service. And, of course, no one in Washington obviously will be working either.
Right. Well, what else is... Yeah, so the Red Sox have decided to go to the White House, and they're saying that it's not mandatory for the players to go. And when was it ever mandatory? When could you tell someone they had to go to the White House?
This is specific to Trump. Obviously.
No, but it wasn't mandatory when Obama
was. No, it wasn't. It's never been mandatory at all. But, I mean, that's the question that's asked, because all players have varying degrees of support for the president.
If you're Brady, you just didn't Brady skip more than Obama, or did he just skip Obama?
I thought he just skipped Obama.
All right, maybe that was a political thing, but it seems
wasn't it because he was with his mom?
Oh, that's right. Okay, so yeah, but I mean, if you don't, since when could they tell you to have to go to the White House?
No, Fred, I don't think...
That's like telling you have to go to a Christmas party at work.
No, Fred,
I don't... Like, no, I don't.
Fred, I don't think it's one of those deals where they weren't going to make the policy has not changed. This is probably a question that Sam Kennedy was asked because of the president and how polarizing he is.
Okay, so they said that...
That would be my guess.
Right. And again, Alex Cora is going to go under the assumption that he is going to have time with the president. Which I am unaware of how much time you get to sit with the president, but I'm going to guess it's...
They're going to discuss strategy, the two of them.
Yeah, see, that's the thing, is I would guess it's very fleeting. Now, if you want to go to the White House, God bless you.
Now, as I said before, I don't think Cora's smart enough to know he's not going to go there and get a half an hour. He'll probably get a minute or two, and he's going to go there, say his piece in as small a window as he has to do it, and... You know, that's more than anybody else can.
Do you think you get a minute or two, or do you think that they line you up and then he comes out?
I would think if you're the manager of the team, you would probably get more time with the president than the players. Not a lot.
So you think you're in a room and the president comes in and starts shaking
everyone's hand? Or a receiving line or something like that, where you get a face-to-face and you can say what you need to say, and that's it. I don't think Cora's going there expecting to... You know, facilitate a policy shift. He's going there to say, you know, the people of Puerto Rico are hurting. I'm from there. This means a lot to me. Not much, but it's more than anybody else in a position of power apparently can do.
Now I'm curious to see how much FaceTime you actually get. Because if there's a receiving line, they probably keep you moving pretty quick.
Probably.
I guess it depends on how many players go. All right. Well, it's very exciting because it's Mark Jamelli's Recliner Christmas. It is going
to
be a
I'm looking
scene.
Forward to this.
Well, there is a lot of audio.
I know. And it's rare, too. I was actually talking with Rich off the air about this. I've been with you guys 9 years, and I wasn't around when you used to do full breaks with the Chili guy and things like that. But since I've been here, all the audio and all the things that we've looked forward to is like a break or two breaks. This, I'm told, could take up to an hour to go through.
Yes.
And I am very excited to hear how this works out.
Yes, this is a situation where there is a plethora of audio. We'll talk to Jeff Howe, he of The Athletic, about the New England Patriots coming up in just a moment.
Tucker and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Tucker and Rich. Did you want to say something?
Yeah, I got something for you real quick before I finish the production stuff. I got you an early Christmas present, Fred.
All right, let me hear.
It came in the mail yesterday, and I was going to wait, but I was like, you know what? This is unfortunately something I have to give to you now, Fred. I haven't even opened it. For you.
I woke up feeling dangerous.
Oh, look at that. Nice.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
In honor of your favorite new NFL quarterback.
Yeah.
Baker Mayfield.
Got the colors and everything.
I saw somebody wearing it at the game, and I'm like, there's no one that would look better on than Mr. Fred Tucker.
Yeah, morning, baby.
Pretty dangerous.
And it's got a skull on it.
It's got the Cleveland Browns colors, and it's got a skull in the middle. It says, woke up feeling dangerous.
And it's got like a band, like a headband on the skull to let you know, hey, I got a little McMahon in me. Don't worry about it.
And by the way, speaking of feeling dangerous, you know, J.J. Watt made that thing. He goes, well, I guess you didn't feel so dangerous yesterday. And a listener made a good point. That line would have been a lot better if you didn't imagine J.J. Watt practicing it 50 times in front of a mirror before he said it.
Right.
Which well, you know is exactly what happened.
Right. He has someone go through all the comments so he can come up with witty quip. Because he probably has like a team of writers.
Well, he had that whole thing about the, remember the red writer? Which is one of the all-time worst.
Yeah. Andy Dalton,
this is it. This is one of the all-time, you know he practiced this one.
Yeah, I mean, our goal was to come out here and make the Red Rifle look like a Red Ryder BB gun, and I think we did that.
Wow.
Tonight. I think he's a great...
Whoa, you didn't just go there, did you? Come on. All right, Jeff Howe writes for The Athletic, and he will join us right here. Hello, Mr. Jeff Howe.
Hello there, guys.
When you look at this Baker Mayfield, he's going to fail, correct?
I don't think so. How can you be that cocky and fail?
That's right.
It never happens.
Exactly. How can you have that kind of hubris and never have anything bad happen to you? Yeah. So,
guys are haters, both of you.
You really think he's going to be that good?
I think he's going to be a good quarterback in the league. Yes. Yes, I do.
All right. Well,
351 yards after halftime last week, Fred. I mean, you got to have some skill to do that.
Yes, the skill is everything you're throwing is downfield, and you're not running the ball at all because Chubb had about 30 yards in rushing that day. All right, Jeff, as you look at the game tape, going into the Vikings game, arguably the Vikings have the best receiver tandem in all of football, and they were kept completely under wraps. In fact, Thielen, other than the touchdown, was invisible. What did you see the Patriots doing?
Well, they confused Kirk Cousins before and after the snap. They did a lot of defensive stuff that I thought was similar to what they did with Aaron Rodgers in terms of just making him try to process everything, again, before the snap. And then afterwards, there was still a lot of movement. So, you know, you could have an idea of what the defense might have been doing, but you kind of had to see it if you're the quarterback. And when you have to, you know, spend a second after the snap and you want to get rid of the ball within 2 to 2.5 seconds, you know, that consumes a good amount of how much you're able to really process. So Kirk Cousins got rid of the ball fairly quickly in that game. It was just he didn't trust what he was seeing down the field or in the second and third level of the secondary. And that was a big reason why he was dumping the ball off to his running backs or sometimes the shallow tight ends. And, you know, again, there was a lot of check down stuff. the cornerbacks did an outstanding job, particularly Gilmore and McCourty. And, I mean, you look at 10 of the 11 guys who were targeted in terms of the defenders held their receivers to 7 yards or fewer per catch, which is astoundingly good. And I think it was like 8 of those guys, it was 5 yards or fewer. So the tackling was great. And when you have a game when a quarterback is checking it down a lot, if you're making that tackle immediately after the catch, you're going to force an offense to slowly work their way down the field. And when you have a quarterback who isn't trusting what he's seeing because the defense has such a good game plan, that's what makes it so difficult to go out and score more than 10 points.
Are we sold on the Patriots defense here? I mean, are they officially trending in the right direction now? I mean, of the 4 games they have left, I think Pittsburgh has the most dangerous receiving tandem. But, I mean, we've been waiting all year for the Patriots defense to kind of step up and be counted. Is this it right here?
Well, you look at their last 4 wins, and they're allowing about 11 points a game in those wins. I mean, you throw out, that's 4 of their last 5 performances, and you throw out the Tennessee game because that is looking more and more like an aberration over the last 2+ months of football that they've played. So the defense is playing a lot better. The key to their defense for a while now, and I've been saying this for a while now because I believe it to be true, is their pass rush. And when they are getting after the quarterback, and I had, I think, 17 disruptions in terms of the total of sacks, pressures, and hits on Cousins, 17 is a pretty good number. They've been as high as 20 this season. So that's, as their pass rush goes, their performance has elevated. In their losses, they haven't gotten anywhere near the quarterback. I think the high and the loss is 12 disruptions, and it was as low as 6 in that Lions game. So when they're getting after the quarterback, and Trey Flowers is a massive part of that, I mean, he is playing lights-out football. Even though the sacks aren't totally there, he's only got, I think, 4.5 on the season. He's consistently in the backfield making plays, and everybody sort of feeds off of him.
All right, we're hearing that McDaniels is a candidate in Green Bay and that there's assistant coaches for some unknown reason that are already vying for positions on his staff. How do you feel about him going there, and based on what you know about Aaron Rodgers, do you think that's a good fit?
I've been thinking about that, and it's such a weird thing to say, but is Aaron Rodgers a guy that any head coach can manage?
Right.
And he's an all-world talent, but I don't know him personally. I've never met him. Obviously because they're in the NFC, you don't see them as frequently, aside from what you see on TV. But you hear the stories, and you know that he butted heads with McCarthy basically the entire time that he was there. You got to wonder, does it take the right type of personality? And we know McDaniels has a strong personality. So if those two guys aren't going to work well together, or any head coach who goes to Green Bay can't work well with Aaron Rodgers or command his respect, it's not going to work. And it's kind of proven itself with McCarthy, especially this season. But I think that's been a trend. That's what it sounds like. So, again, I don't know if that's a question that anybody can really answer until you get those two guys in the room and they're honest with each other. So I think I saw a quote yesterday from the GM that said that they weren't going to let Rodgers have any say in the hire or whatever, which I get to a great extent. That's mostly fine. But I think you have to really, really account for the fact that the quarterback's not going anywhere for at least another 5 years. And that guy has to get along with the coach. I mean, this is, you don't see this stuff happen in football like you do with the NBA. But you certainly don't want Aaron Rodgers to become a LeBron James type of figure who starts chasing coaches out of town at this stage of his career.
Yeah, and don't you think that you would need more of a pedigree than Josh McDaniels in that you maybe had to have had some success as a head coach, or, maybe he'll look at his time in Denver and then go, oh, well, you worked with Brady for all those years. Does it seem to you like McDaniels is the kind of guy who would get respect?
Yeah, you're right. And you could have, and maybe this is totally unfair, but again, these are just the questions that I sort of have just from an outsider's perspective looking at Rodgers. I mean, you could have him looking at McDaniels, you know, maybe there's some adversity, or maybe McDaniels put something in the game plan that Rodgers doesn't like, and all of a sudden Rodgers starts rolling his eyes. And we've heard those stories too about Rodgers and McCarthy. You know, he could be like, what have you accomplished? You know, I'm a Super Bowl champion quarterback and, you know, whatever. So, again, you certainly don't want a situation where an offensive type of head coach and the quarterback are butting heads and potentially splitting the room. So, but, like, what do you go for? Do you go for, you know, a longtime head coach with, you know, with that pedigree, you know, and I don't know why I'm thinking of the name Andy Reid, obviously not him, but a guy right. like him.
Right.
Yeah. Or, you know, you look at Lincoln Riley, you know, a name that, you know, keeps coming up with the Browns, but can a Lincoln Riley come in from college and command Aaron Rodgers' respect? So I don't know. It seems like it could be a harder search than one that even the Browns might have.
All right, Jeff, watching Rob Gronkowski last weekend was painful to watch. He's clearly not right, and this is after the Patriots held him out to try and get him right. And looking at it from my perspective, it just seems like what we have from Gronk now is what we're going to have from Gronk the rest of the season. Do you agree or disagree?
I'm starting to agree, and it was tough to watch him, particularly as a blocker. And, you know, he came back, like you said, he came back fresh last week against the Jets, and he was dominant. He was outstanding as a blocker, and he had the two holding penalties on Sunday. One of them was downfield, so, you know, whatever, take that for what it is. But he was getting pushed around a bit, too, including on the goal line, and you never see that stuff. I mean, even if he's not going to be an all-world receiver anymore at this point in the season, you know, you can always rely on him to be a quality blocker. So, you know, that tells me, or I start to read into the fact that, you know, he was fresh the 2 weeks ago in his debut or re-debut against the Jets, and then the wear and tear started to take its effect on Sunday against the Vikings, a physical team with a great front. So, yeah, that is more concerning than it was a week ago for sure.
Do you think he plays next season?
I mean, it's, I don't know. I mean, I don't want to make any sort of rash judgments based off of, you know, any particular game, but I think it's an honest conversation that he's going to continue to have with himself after every season. And I think the physical element of it is more in play this season than it was last season.
Yeah. And there's no way the Patriots give him that type of, what is it, like $17 million?
I think it's less, but yeah, it's still over 10.
Okay, that's over $10 million. Yeah. There's no way the Patriots give him that next year, correct?
No, I can't imagine. I mean, look at, so he came in this season with a chance to earn $9 million, and then they tacked on the extra $3.3 in incentives that he almost certainly won't earn. So I think he'll be stuck at 9. Maybe he earns one of them and gets it to like 10.1, but next season he goes into it with $10 million. And look, there's an easy way to knock that down. It's just you extend him by a year or two and kind of manipulate the cap a bit. But, you know, does Gronk want to do that? Does he want to give the Patriots the chance to get, you know, again, extend that contract and then think a year later, hey, you know what, I want to redo this thing again and just keep playing this game? So I don't know. I mean, it's not unreasonable to think, but I'm not saying Gronk's not worth the $10 million in cash or whatever the cap hit's going to end up being. It might also be 10, but again, I think you got to take the physical element in play, and something that we've talked about every time Gronk's name comes up is that when you put it out there publicly like he did last year, you know, that's a question that he's going to have to answer every single offseason for as long as he continues to play.
All right, Jeff Howe from The Athletic, subscribe now. We always appreciate your time, sir.
Thanks a lot, guys. Have a good one.
All right, you do the same. It's a Gemelli recliner Christmas. Mark Gemelli, young and sick Nicholas's dad, is going to... he went on the experience of a lifetime yesterday, and there is a lot of audio. And so we are going to have to get to that post-haste. But first, here are the headlines.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Mark Gemelli is a recliner Christmas. Meeples everywhere.
I love meeples.
The prettiest sight to see is the recliner that will be sitting next to my other three.
We recline. It's Dominic the Donkey, jing-a-dee-jing, the Italian Christmas donkey, la, la,
98.5 The Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. And we're on Twitch every morning. Visit twitch.com, or I'm sorry, twitch.tv, and search The Sports Hub to watch the show live or use your app.
And his name is Dominic.
All right, what do we know about Mark Jamelli? He is Nick Jamelli, who works on the show's dad. He is the most happy person on the planet. He has three recliners in his one-bedroom apartment in North End.
He has had one hell of a year. His son almost died, and he had to watch him for two straight months as he laid in bed. We went and talked to him for the first time, and wanted to just find out what it was like living with Nick for 2 months, and he said he was exhausted and that there wasn't enough Crown Royal in the world. That's when we learned that he falls asleep on his recliner. He sleeps in a recliner, and the more we got to know him, the more we came to love him. He called in one time specifically for us to plug St. Anthony's Feast in the North End because he had made 1,000 meatballs to hand out. All the meatballs were gone within no time at all.
And don't let it be lost that he had said it's a dream of his to have a fourth recliner.
Yeah, so his recliners, like, he just, he lives in it, he eats in it, we've learned he eats in it, he sleeps in it. I mean, the amount of hours he puts on this thing is, it's unbelievable.
When he gets nervous during sporting events, he goes from recliner to recliner.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
He has a radio right next to one of his recliners, and he listens to the show from tip to tail.
That is true. So, we thought this guy had been through a lot this year, and he's given so many people so much joy that we said, you know what? We are going to give you a recliner Christmas. And thanks to the good people of Bernie and Phil's, they hooked up with us and said, you know what? We love Mark. And we would love for him to be our spokesman. So we had a limo pick him up yesterday in the North End. Right around what, 11 o'clock there, Nick? 11 o'clock, you went down to go see your dad. And this tiny thing is, though, is that the road he lives on is like so tiny. I don't think they can fit the actual limo on his street. However,
I could still show up, Nicholas.
So here is, let's start our adventure, shall we? This is inside of the lobby of Mark Jamelli's apartment building. There's Nick, there's Mark, and there is a couple of Mark's buddies waiting to see the limo.
So Mark had friends come out not to ride in the limo, but to look at it?
Yeah, yeah. He wanted his friends to see the limo.
Ah, look at the spaceship! The whole town. What is this, Everett? How you make a car so big? Oh, look, everybody, I'm a hot shot.
How excited are you right now?
Very excited. Christmas is coming early today.
You have your friends. They're looking for the limousine right
Everybody's
now.
Everybody's looking for the limo right now. I thought it was the garbage truck you were taking me in.
Tell me what you decided to wear on your big day, on Recliner Christmas.
On Recliner Christmas, I'm wearing my favorite turtleneck, my red Christmas sweater, my Manhattan mix, my Manhattan...
Wait, was he wearing the mix? He's taped it to the sweater?
He's got it with him.
Okay.
He has the mix with him.
So he's got it in like a thermos?
He'll continue to explain.
I don't mean to interrupt anything.
No, he'll continue to explain.
Good socks, I had a ball from Anthony.
Anthony,
by the way, he borrowed some socks from his friend Anthony.
Yeah, he took them off right here. We call him Anthony Footwear. McGillicuddy.
They borrow you good socks? It's a big day for Mark.
There's a big limousine outside. I need nice socks.
People who live in the North End are listening, go, oh, yeah, I know Anthony.
Anthony sits in a chair 9 hours a day.
Could be 800 people in the North End.
Anthony's very rare.
Favorite turtleneck.
That's Mark, M-A-H-K.
My red Christmas sweater, my Manhattan mix, my Manhattan. Sheppers. Good socks, I had a ball from Anthony.
Anthony, you're one of my dad's friends, correct?
That's up in the air. But yeah, I am. I'll give you that for now.
Okay, great. Did you want to see the limo? The limo's down the street, but you wanted to see the limo.
Bring it into the lot.
I tried
Let's
to,
pick
but
this man up. Oh, he's got his drink in his hand.
Have you sat on one of his recliners? He has three of them.
I have my own two recliners.
You have two recliners.
Yeah.
So don't worry about me so much.
It's like Recliner Johnson's being compared here.
Everyone in the building.
That's what? The ultimate recliner.
What, do you think you're better than me? You think you're better than me? I got two recliners of my own. I'll tell you what. What do you want to know about a recliner? Why don't you come over? I'll show you a recliner. I'll slap you outside your head.
I got two of my own.
I got my two of my own, smart ass. What do you think? You're better than me?
I give you my socks and you insult me. You try to downplay the amount of recliners I have.
I'd have three, but I got all these socks. You know, I invest a lot of money. Some people play the market. I play the socks game. I used to have three. I sold one, bought a bunch of socks. My feet sweat. What can I say? I'm a classy guy.
Have you sat on one of his recliners? He has three of them.
I have my own two recliners.
You have two recliners?
Yeah.
All right, cool. He's picking out a recliner today, thanks to Bernie and Phil.
God bless them.
Yeah.
Quality, comfort, and price. That's nice.
All right, you ready to go?
I'm ready. Good morning, Saul.
He's getting a new...
Good morning, Saul.
And then a million guys raise their hand.
He's not the guy who sits in the middle of the street with his shirt off, is he? That's not him, is he?
Saul works the blue light in the parking garage. Blink twice if you like Anthony's socks.
Good morning, Saul.
He's getting a new recliner today.
From Bernie and Phil's.
You have a...
What?
You didn't have a solo cup?
A solo cup? What's a solo cup?
A solo cup is like a plastic cup.
I wouldn't use a plastic cup with a man added. No way.
You have a glass cup. What if he dropped that?
We'll buy another one.
You unclassy bastard.
Stupid. Money's no object. I got a recliner.
You don't put a classy drink like a Manhattan in a solo cup. What are you talking about?
I use grandma's tongue bourbon.
So he's walking around with a glass in his hand.
Yeah. Yeah. Solo cup. So everyone in Bernie and Phil's can see I'm drinking.
Okay. All right. We're almost to the limo.
Wow. Look at the size of that limo.
It's a big limo, right?
Yeah. It's huge. It's taking up the whole street. Wow. This is famous.
There
Good
you
morning,
go.
Sir. How are you?
You know he got up in front and next to the driver.
You mind if I take her for a spin?
My name's Mark.
Okay, go ahead, Dad. I'll take the drink.
You have to hold the drink. Wow.
I like how my dick...
Look at this place.
Dad, I like how you put plastic wrap over your glass of Manhattan.
Wow, this is bigger than my first house. Wow, this is fantastic.
Turn off these fat beats.
I could fit four recliners in this thing.
That's how he measures. That's how he measures everything.
All right, what's the square foot? How many acres in the backyard? 8 recliners.
My name's Mark.
I could fit how many recliners he could fit in anything. What do you call this? What do you call this? A dining room? I could only fit 2 recliners in here. I'll tell you, my daughter wants to buy an apartment in Manhattan, and I told her this is only a recliner and a half worth of room.
How many square feet? 12 recliners.
You're going to build a fence that's going to be like 5 recliners. 5.5 if you lower it.
So when it comes to getting a recliner and stuff, what are you looking for in a recliner?
The same thing I'd look for in a wife. I mean, you know, it gives you comfort. It listens to all your problems. You can make ungodly sounds and it doesn't complain. I mean,
you can put a hole in it. Same thing as you look for in a woman. You get comfort. You can fart on it. Nicholas. There's recliners like a wife, you take a big old dump on it.
I could fit four recliners in this thing.
It's like a woman. You can make ungodly sounds on it.
Well, I guess that's kind of what love is, isn't it? If you can fart on your wife, then it is true love.
All right. Well, we're just getting started. He's still in the infant stages. Oh, he's just got in the limo.
All right. Well, that's right. He's just now getting in.
Re-record. You are in debt.
My name is Mark Chevelle.
Fantastic. At 3 o'clock, I have my first Manhattan.
Go Red
Sox. I mean, there's one thing.
Quality,
that is,
comfort, and price. That's nice.
There's one thing that you cannot deny is that, and it's not shtick, he just loves recliners.
Loves them. It's his life. It's his life.
It's his passion.
So. I have my own two recliners.
You have two recliners.
Yeah.
Anthony, you sock maven.
All right. Anthony, we call him Socks. All right, we will be back with more of a Jamelli Christmas.
My name's Mark.
Stay tuned for Toucher and Rich on 98.5 Sports Hub.
Solo cup. What's the solo cup in this?
Hey, jingity jing.
My name's Mark.
It's Dominic the Donkey. Jingity jing.
I could fit four recliners in this thing.
La 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 la.
I have my own two recliners.
You have two.
La 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 la. Quality, comfort, and price. That's nice.
Santa's got a little.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. And it is a recliner Christmas. I'll tell you this, is that Nick's dad, Mark Jamelli, loves recliners, and he wanted a fourth one, so he got picked up in a limo. We're currently hearing him in the limo. He says you could fit at least four recliners in it. They're going to Bernie and Phil's in Saugus, and the folks at Southern Motion and Bernie and Phil's, big fans of the show and Mark Jamelli's, Mark Jamelli, they're going to give them the perfect holiday gift, and Rich, they're in the limo, mm-hmm. and it is Nick and his dad in the limousine.
So, when it comes to getting a recliner and stuff, what are you looking for in a recliner?
The same thing I'd look for in a wife. I mean, you know, it gives you comfort. It listens to all your problems. You can make ungodly sounds and it doesn't complain. I mean, really, it's just so exciting.
And you have your Manhattan.
You bet. I actually have two more in there in case we get tied up time-wise.
All right, so you have a full cup with ice.
Yeah.
There's plastic wrap around it so you wouldn't spill it.
Correct. And then I made the equivalent of, I'll say one more, but let's be honest, it's Christmas and it's two more. So, and it's Hanukkah today, too. It's a day of celebration.
It's Abba Day. It's time to drink.
And Jews across New England raise a glass and Mark Jamelli's honor.
That's right. That's right.
It's Hanukkah. Tomorrow's Kwanzaa. That means I start drinking at 6 a.m.
Mazel tov. Also on a recliner, I'm also looking towards the future.
Okay. Can you explain?
Well, the future for me is maybe I need one of those lift recliners to help me get out of it.
Oh, I see. Okay, so you're looking down the line.
I'll go a long time before the recliner.
Okay, great.
And not before the Manhattans. I'm not going anywhere without one.
All right. So this recliner is like, it's like his nest egg.
It's timeless, right. This is the thing that, this is his legacy. And someday I will leave you this recliner, young man.
I mean, he's really, like, this recliner is what's going to take him to the grave.
Sure. It could be. I mean, after all, you know, and maybe one Hanukkah it will be passed down.
Mazel tov.
You'll end up giving it to Nick at that point.
And I have a video will. And to my only son, Nicholas, I bequeath you the recliner that helps you get up.
I didn't. Okay, so I didn't even know what he's talking about. I guess there's recliners that can, like, hoist you up so you can stand
really?
Up.
Really? I was unaware.
I've never. Now, do they like straighten out and stand you up? Is that what they do?
I don't know, but he seemed to be. I mean, this is a man who scoured in like industry magazines.
Right.
Like,
I get subscription to Recliner Quarterly. Orange is the new black color of recliner. Recliners through the decades. The Dick Van Dyke Show had a lovely recliner.
He literally looked and saw how long a recliner lasts and wanted to see if his expected life was going to be as long as it. And if not, he realized that he would need something to help him out of his seat.
I need something that a nice hospice worker can come over and deal with. Is there anything that comes with an IV attachment?
I don't know.
All right, so we will have no commercials here. We'll just have the headlines. And, Rich, when we come back, where are we going to be?
Mark Jamelli arrives at heaven.
He arrives
his happy place.
His Bernie and Phil's. And, you know, who knows how he bought his first couple of recliners, but the door's open and we'll hear his reaction. No commercials here, just the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.